p.m. We'll also be posting an interview with Iglesias in Spanish on our website later this week at democracynow.org. A very special happy birthday to Neil Shabata. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Berker, Nate Felser, Aaron Mate, Nermeen Sheikh. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Mate. Thanks for joining us.
This is Donna with your WUSB Concert Billboard. Your Concert Billboard for Monday, February 16th. Robert Lighthouse will be at Iridium, Manhattan, 7 p.m. Captain Black Big Band will be at Smoke, Jazz and Supper Club, 7 p.m. Colin Hay will be at City Winery, Manhattan, at 8. John Paris will be in the Seals at B.B. King's, Manhattan, at 8. On your concert billboard for Tuesday, February 17th, Dave Clive's Nolan's Funk Band will be at Treme in Iceland, 7 p.m. Leon Bridges will be at the Mercury Lounge, 7:30. Jack's Waterfall will be at Barbecue in Patchogue at 8. Kermit Ruffins and the Barbecue Swingers will be at the Blue Note, Manhattan, 8 p.m. Ms. Lauren Hill will be at Rock Trade in Brooklyn, 9 p.m. Looking ahead to Wednesday, February 18th. Lonnie Cook will be at Zebulon, Sound and Light.
Tune in throughout the day, each day, to hear Concert Billboard on the air, or see it at the WUSB website at wusb.fm/CBB.
All right. Hello, hello, good evening, everyone. It is 6:03 p.m. here at WUSB in Stony Brook, New York. You're tuned to 90.1 FM, and that time means it's time for Off the Wall. Thank you. All right. Good evening. Hello. Welcome. This is Off the Wall.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in an enthusiastic mood today. I'm happy to be here.
Are you? Hey, I'm joined tonight by Emmanuel.
That's me.
Yeah, that's you.
That's me. I'm here sitting in the guest slot here, which is comfortable, and I have no responsibilities whatsoever, so I can actually drink on the air.
But you will not be drinking.
Did
you just take a sip of something? Okay.
Yeah, I'm drinking coffee.
All right, coffee's okay.
I meant by that, but...
That's acceptable radio beverage.
Well, okay, thank you, king of radio beverages, defining what's acceptable and what is not. But yeah, this gives me what I need to get through the 45 minutes. Yes, we only have 45 minutes tonight.
Yes, well, not enough time to get into station policy about drinks in the booth.
Is this a booth? This is master control. Hardly a booth. This is a sprawling...
So would you call it a control booth?
A control room. That's what CR means. CR1, control room number one.
And
of course, we put CR in front of every room here, so I guess that doesn't really mean anything.
Well, we're clearly out of control.
We're totally spiraling to our plummeting doom. But before we get there, let us let you know that at 6:45 there will be an exciting basketball game. Assuming that the bus made it okay, the men's basketball, is it the men's basketball team? I'm pretty sure it is, have journeyed up to Albany, New York, where they will be kicking the ass of the, whatever the Albany team is called up there. And, that'll be coming your way in just a little while. But before that, we're going to let you know all sorts of other things as far as, how the world is working and not working and things like that. If you're listening to us online, you might only be hearing one channel. You know, I'm curious. This will help us, Kyle. What channel? Could you write to us and tell us what channel you hear? Do you hear the left channel or do you hear the right channel? Because we have a bunch of computers that might be set up wrong. It's got nothing to do with the radio station. It's got to do with our setup back in the office. And it's possible we might be listening to the left channel only when we think we're listening to the right channel only. And it's kind of hard to tell sometimes. So if a lot of people write in and say, yeah, you know, you're only coming through on the left channel, then we know that we're wired backwards.
Well, I'm here I'm catching up. I'm sorry. I just was able to pull you back into stereo. Remember the paperclip trick?
Oh, that's a whole different thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's,
I just brought you into stereo.
That's
you
over the air. We're talking about online only. You mean I was only in one channel over the air as well?
It was in my ear.
Realize that could mean that I was in no channel online? That's entirely possible.
And it also means that people don't really take paperclips seriously.
Not around here, no.
The old master control board.
Always been one of the problems.
The guest switch. When you have the guest mic switched down, helps have a paperclip.
Listeners, take note of this, because you might find yourself in this position one day. And the paperclip is not to be thrown away. I just felt myself lose something.
Yeah.
You're messing with my head here, Kyle.
Well, I haven't found an actual paperclip, so I have to hold it.
Okay. I seem to be coming through both channels, though.
Yeah.
All right. This is 45 minutes of microphone checks, by the way, until the basketball game begins.
All right. Thumbtack is now there. So what do you have? What's going on?
Well, I printed out a bunch of stories, and I forgot to bring them, so I don't have much. But I do have this. I have a statement as far as the weather goes. It's cold outside. It's been cold outside. It's going to continue to be cold outside. There's snow. There's ice. There's sleet. There's all kinds of things going on. I think it's great because this is winter, and winter should be like this. I am so sick to death of people complaining about the cold. You don't like the cold? You know what? We could use your residences because lots of people need them. So you go to Florida, and we'll take your house. And that's just, you know, we'll pay the taxes and all that because people complain about taxes a lot up here. But we'll enjoy the cold because it's the northeast of the United States and we like the cold. Those of us who belong here, that is. Those of us who don't. Those of us who say things like, you know what, global warming is actually a good thing because it won't make things as cold in the wintertime. You realize people actually believe that. People think that global warming is an acceptable choice because it'll make the winters more pleasant. That is the mentality that we are dealing with in this day and age in this country. It's insane. I get into that conversation all the time with people who are upset at how cold it is. First of all, it's not global warming. It's climate change. You'll see all kinds of weird variations based on how we're messing up the environment. So you're not going to get off the hook that easily. Second of all, weather changes. You got to adapt. That's called evolution. That's called being human. That's called survival. And I think most of us do a fairly good job of that.
Yeah, definitely.
Some of us can't handle it. We spin our SUVs out of control and cause all kinds of mayhem. Yeah, well, we need to talk about that. We need to, I think, train people a little better when they're operating large motor vehicles and things like that. And also, just common sense as far as staying out of the frigid cold and not getting frostbite and things like that. These are all things we're capable of learning.
Yeah, I'm certainly being run through the paces. I've never experienced weather quite like this. And all of our traveling, we were hoping to see some bit of winter evidence of storminess and cold. And I'm really, I'm impressed at my stamina, but also just, well, amazed at the ability to adapt, too. You know, you need creature comforts. You got to take care of yourself, of course. But boy, this is unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's no problem for people around here degree.
It's a problem for people around here. It's a problem in a lot of places. But there are other places where people are better trained. I think Boston people are better trained. And certainly in Canada, people are better trained for this type of thing. Here in New York, we get better trained. But every year, it's the same thing. In November, December, the first snow flurry hits and everybody freaks out and flips their SUVs and everything like that. But then come February, when we're used to it, we're a lot better at it. In fact, you know, I've even missed the weather forecast the last few days, and I didn't realize it was going to snow today. And it snowed today, again, a couple of inches, no big deal. You know, didn't even shovel. So that's how it is.
Yeah, I think it trains you that first swell, the first storm, and then you kind of get into this thing. It's not complacence. It's not complacency. It's adapting and changing your behavior. You're changing your pattern a little bit and accommodating, realizing and being prepared.
I intend to complain about spring, and because people don't complain about spring enough. They complain about how hot it is in the summertime, how cold it is in the wintertime, but nobody complains about, oh my God, look at that, the flowers are coming out. You know, nobody complains about spring, and somebody needs to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be ready as soon as spring starts to threaten us. I will be there to complain bitterly about it and pray for a better place to be at that time of year. I don't know if you can avoid spring anywhere, but I'm going to try. But speaking of snow in Boston, I saw this story about a Boston resident who, get this, he is angry. He was angry that a parking space that he cleared was taken, and he got his revenge by burying the car that parked in it with the snow that he had shoveled out. Now, apparently they can do this in Boston. He put a space saver, which is some kind of informal system using household furniture or homemade signs or really just about anything else where you can mark a parking spot. And that means that's your spot. If you put something there and nobody will... that would never work in New York. You can't do that. You can't just put a desk or something in a space and expect somebody not to throw that aside and park their car there. This guy even shoveled a path to not only make it easier on him the next morning, but to indicate that indeed this was his spot. I don't understand. Why didn't he park there if he shoveled out this spot? Where was his car? Somewhere else? He has two spots? Space savers are legitimate in most of Boston. The city's parking regulations allow that a space saver can be used for as long as 48 hours. No kidding. Never heard about this. Do they have that in Seattle? Space savers? Kyle?
I've never heard of this. I mean, I saw it a little bit when we were traveling when they closed off, but I think that was more of a municipality thing. They would close spaces entirely or whatnot, put signs there, or small, not cones, but just little geometric signs that took up the space and ostensibly said it was closed. But I've never really heard of this in the States in different... spots around the country. No, not at all.
I think all you can do in New York is lie down in your space and maybe somebody won't park there, but you can't just mark it off. I mean, first of all, you can mark off anybody's spot. I mean, it's no real way to verify that that is indeed your spot and that you are the one who cleared it out. Anyway, the whole big thing, because this person didn't even wait 24 hours before they parked their car there, I was nice enough to leave the passenger door accessible in case they needed to get in for an emergency, this unnamed person wrote. And he's unnamed because he's afraid of retribution in this day and age. That could be what you get for something like that. Now, Boston has been repeatedly hit with snowstorms. They're expected to take second place on their list of snowiest winters. with whatever happened today. They've had 95.7 inches of snow, and they're less than a foot away from the all-time record. So that's something to be proud of, Boston. I don't know about all this saving parking spaces and burying other cars. It seems a bit silly. But, you know, one thing that does spring to mind, I was looking at some of the feedback to that particular article, and some people were asking, well, why didn't he just ask the person to move that car? In this day and age, you can't do that. You can't ask somebody to do something confrontational because you don't know what he's going to do. He might shoot you for confronting him. That's the society we live in now, where everybody is so angry and enraged and armed that we're all afraid to talk to each other about anything other than saying, have a nice day.
It does make things very difficult when people are unpredictable, and I think people are more hot-headed. I don't know. There's a lot of righteous indignation for whatever action you, and no flexibility, and that's really unfortunate because those are very important things in creating understanding and having cooperation on the most basic level.
Yeah, and it's another indication of how an armed society is not a polite society. It's a scared society. It's a society where people don't know what's going to happen next because people have this unusual power of being able to end their your life at a moment's notice if they feel like that's an option for them. And, you know, a lot of people get upset at ridiculous things. I've seen it many, many times. And you inject guns into it, it gets so much worse. We had the case in – we had a couple of things happen this past week. Chapel Hill, North Carolina, horrible case that demonstrated a number of things. These were three Arab Americans who were murdered by a guy who was allegedly upset by a parking space. Now, that is the way it was reported in the media. First of all, it wasn't reported at all in the media for a while that three Muslim Americans were killed by a how else do you describe him? A white American who basically killed them for some reason. But obviously, it was something that if the shoe was reversed, all right, if it was a Muslim American who had killed three white people in their home, that would be front and center in all the news channels, and it would be immediately classified as an act of terrorism or a potential act of terrorism. In this particular case, it wasn't even reported for about 24 hours. After 24 hours, finally it got some coverage, but there was a long period. I was looking all over the place. You saw me running around looking for this story, uh-huh. And it wasn't anywhere. Finally, when it was reported on television and on radio, they were focusing on, well, the guy was upset at a parking space, and that's why he killed them. Okay, fair enough. You know, the guy's upset at a parking space, and that's what made him blow his stack and kill three people. You know, that whole thing that happened in Paris last month, that was just an artistic dispute about a cartoon. You know, that's all that was. That wasn't any kind of terrorist act or anything like that. People just disagreed as to whether or not that was art or not. Yeah, if we're going to go that route, let's go that route for all the cases. But what this was really disgusting as far as the way it was reported. And I think maybe some people are finally seeing that it's not quite even the way the media works in this country when it comes to how people are portrayed based on their background.
Yeah, and it's a hypocrisy and unfortunate shading of the occurrence. You know, what's going on is portrayed in hypocritically not an opposite way. It's not it's not equal and objective and mm-hmm. thus untrustworthy as a source. But yeah, lousy story, huh?
Well, yeah, it demonstrates a lot of things. This was somebody that maybe was not solely anti-Islam. He seemed to be anti-religion of all sorts. Now, what that demonstrates, that shows us that you can be an atheist and also be filled with just as much hatred as somebody who is religious. And I think what we really have to focus on, a lot of people say in a kind of simplistic way that religion is the root of all evil. That's the cause of all the problems. If you look at all the hot spots in the world, it's all based on religion. Eliminate religion and you eliminate the problem. That's really overly simplistic, doesn't work, all right? It's not about the religion, all right? Religion has a lot of good in it. I'm not religious myself, but I do recognize that there is good that can come out of religion, as there is good that can come out of anything where people come together for a common cause. But also, bad things can happen as well. The real problem is the intolerance of those who are different than you. And that's where religion is a big offender. How they deal with other people and different sects or different types of religion altogether, if they're filled with hatred or intolerance, then that is a major cause of problems. But that same thing can happen with atheists as well. They can be intolerant of all religion and filled with hatred and murderous rage, as we saw in potentially that case as well. So nobody is really immune from it. No one doctrine stands above all the others. It's how you deal with the people you disagree with. I think that is what defines the value of what it is that you believe in.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly I agree. I mean, I'm not expressly a religious person myself either, but I'm familiar with it, and it really has to be that all faiths evolve in such a way that they're cognizant of the contemporary context that they exist in and must cooperate in. You cannot just decide you're going to be separate and I mean, of course, there are religious exceptions and allowances culturally and legally, but you can't just live in a vacuum per mm-hmm. se. You must at least have some sort of diplomacy from the community that maybe you might be a bit isolated culturally, but I think there has to be interaction with the greater world on a modern level, because there's been a lot of advancements insofar as our concept of where we are and how we're organized as far as land masses and nation states and stuff like that.
Right.
And it's fine to have your nation and your religion and these things, but to exist without recognition of other established norms and things like human rights mm-hmm. and all of the sort of normal politically correct or polite things that we care about, I think that's an important thing to get a grip on and catch up, be a bit more modern about how you interact with other faiths, how you interact with on the world stage and are perceived and stuff like that.
But a lot of this is dictated by our leaders, by how our countries are evolving throughout the years. We look at organizations like ISIL and wonder how they came about. Well, look at our history just a little bit. 12 years ago was when we invaded Iraq, and all kinds of horrible things happened as a result of that. All kinds of horrible things happened to those people. There was Abu Ghraib. There were all kinds of innocent people killed, all kinds of horrible things that happened as a direct result of our involvement over there. Now, those kids that have gone through that, kids say that were 12 years old at the time, well, add 12 years to that, and you get mid-20s. And some of those people have survived. Some of those people have managed to get on with their lives. Others are still very, very upset and angry at what has happened to their land, to their families. And that is what people mean when they say that the United States created ISIL, because they did. They created ISIL, they created Al-Qaeda, they created all kinds of reactions against the things that have happened in that particular part of the world that we have no business being in the first place. So all those people that were being mocked and dismissed who were anti-war back then, unfortunately, their words have come true. And if you go back and look at what was being said at the time, not only in 2003, but in 1990 as well, the first Gulf War, these things will come back to haunt you. And yeah, they're coming back. They're coming back in a really horrible way. And you have to ask yourself, these are human beings just like you, as far as DNA goes, but the values are completely different. And it's almost like we're different species. And that's certainly how it's being portrayed in the media, that this is an enemy that we don't understand, that we simply can't even reason with. We helped to create that enemy. And, you know, a very similar thing happened after World War One, where the Germans were demonized and made to suffer in all kinds of humiliating ways. And that led to the rise of the Nazi Party. And we all know what that led to. So when you do these things without thinking them through, as George W. Bush continues to be guilty of, as well as his entire administration, you wind up paying the price for it many years later. And I just wish more people would see that and would hold those leaders accountable for creating this mess, because this is one hell of a mess. I don't know how we're going to get out of it. I really don't, because this hatred is very hard to extinguish. And I don't have an answer. I simply don't. I see things happen like what happened in Copenhagen this last week, where more innocent people were killed as a result of speaking out for freedom of speech. And it's basically people are speaking past each other. Printing cartoons is very different from attacking a religion. You might think criticism is the same thing as an attack, but it's, if you look at values, it is not, especially if you're speaking out because you've been told you're not allowed to speak out. Then you might not even believe the criticism that you're speaking. You might just be saying that because you've been told you can't say that. Very different thing than actual hatred of a religion. We've lost the ability to converse with each other, and this just leads to more and more confrontations, more and more generalizations. And it's just getting worse and worse with the passing weeks. I saw a story earlier about this this guy in Paris. He had actually come from Israel as an experiment, went to Paris, put on Jewish religious garb, and walked around the city for 10 hours, and then made a little video of about a minute and a half that comprised all the people that were saying anti-Semitic things to him or spitting at him or things like that. You know, horrible stuff, no doubt about that. But when I looked at the video, I wasn't that shocked, you know, because if you dress up in any outfit that's unusual for the area, you're going to get some kind of a reaction, and some of it isn't going to be very polite. And nobody physically attacked him at all. The people who were spitting, well, they could have been just spitting in general. I'm not trying to dismiss any possibility that there's anti-Semitism. I know there is lots of anti-Semitism. But I think there are people that are taking advantage of it. And the number one person taking advantage of the existing anti-Semitism in Europe is Benjamin Netanyahu, the leader of Israel. He actually had the audacity to tell Jews of Europe that it's unsafe for them to stay there and they should all come to Israel now. It's basically like, you know, he's having an infomercial for Israel that he's beaming to all of Europe and saying, yeah, you guys got to leave there now and come here because it's going to be so great over here. You get to attack Arabs and foster more hatred and make that particular country an even bigger menace to the peace of the world by stepping on the rights of others. It was a horrible way to deal with a situation like that. And I think the right way to deal with a situation like that, if in fact it does exist, if there is a significant amount of anti-Semitism that is spreading throughout Europe, the way to deal with that is to bring more Jewish people into that area to challenge that. Not to leave, not to to vacate the premises. We've been told that is basically giving up your right of freedom, and we wouldn't accept that for ourselves. We wouldn't accept that for other groups. Why should we accept that in this particular case? The other thing, if you were to dress somebody up in Arab garb and walk them through Orthodox neighborhoods in Israel or other parts of the world, what would happen there? I'd like to see that particular film as well. Point is, if you stand out, you're unusual, and if you represent something that is particularly offensive to a group of people, yeah, you're going to get reactions. And unfortunately, the Jewish garb is seen as something very offensive to a large number of people because of the actions of Israel, which does not represent the Jewish people, I don't think. It represents some of them, it doesn't represent all of them. So that's my view on that.
Well, yes, of course, indeed. Wow, you're absolutely right about the cultural memory part of that, and how all the people that were saying maybe, you know, this isn't a good idea years and years ago were onto something. That's what they were talking about, is this cultural memory that we have an impact, and we cannot react and be impulsive and or just treat things as a business matter that we're going to go in and occupy, or we're going to take control. I mean, it ought not to be that there is the profit motive in the way of the greater good. In other words, because it's globally strategic for us, that shouldn't be the the thing that's dictating our actions. We should be sensitive to what how those actions might change, and what has happened there, and what the region has become is case in point, as you said. So I think you're absolutely right with that. The cultural memory that these generations of young people coming up having kind of every right to feel a bit wronged. I don't know. So I agree with that. Are you with the Sudanese president's camp? I would ask. He was saying this week about ISIS being the CIA. They invented it.
In a sense, they did.
I know. I'm kidding.
even if they actually sat around a table and created this group,
right?
It's the same effect as doing something boneheaded and invading a region and destabilizing it and creating all this reaction of hatred that goes on for generations. It's the same effect. Doesn't matter. They, in one form or another, they did create them.
He did come out this week and he mentioned that, and I think that's really fun because it's like it. It itself sounds, oh gosh, that's a spook thing. Like, he sounds crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it makes the point. It's exactly what I'm saying. What that cultural memory, what peace activists, people that didn't want us to be invading and allowing, you know, Halliburton or whatever to go on there to secure our interests. You know, national security can't just be thrown about the way we have been. Throwing it about, it's really funny because he was ironically making the point that the CIA and our interests did create the context for a group like ISIS to thrive. So it's interesting to watch. So I love what you did there. You started out with a real funny, lighthearted parking dispute. We went from there to a silly, crazy, insane parking dispute, and also delved into the myopia of religion and uncooperativeness, and rounded that out with U.S. government policy and its setting the foundation for ISIL. So what's next?
Well, can I just say, just a full confession here, when I was reading about the parking dispute in Boston, I did not even think of the connection to the quote-unquote parking dispute in North Carolina. I saw that as I was talking about it. So
that's very
sometimes
clever.
Sometimes these things just happen.
No, that's artistry. That is a true
well,
true.
I think maybe what it says about us as a people is that we are so concerned about parking that we sort of – our whole lives revolve around parking spaces and disputes about parking spaces and things like that.
Back to back, that really illustrated the lunacy there.
Uh-huh. The FA Cup, we have an update for that because, yes, for some reason we've been following that since August. And we have been through a whole number of rounds now. And the latest round, known as the fifth round proper, took place last weekend. And the team that we are now following, which is West Bromwich Albion, they thrashed West Ham United 4-0. So they move on to the quarterfinals now. And that's pretty cool. I was watching another game, because you can see them on TV now. Bradford City is in the third tier. They were playing Sunderland, who are in the Premier League, the first tier, and they actually won 2-0. So that is the lowest ranked team now in the third tier. We started with a 10th tier team, Nuneaton Griff. We started in the 10th tier back in August.
Yes.
Bradford City now, third tier, they move on to the quarterfinals. They get to play Reading, which Basically, they're a second-tier team, so they made off pretty good. They could have been paired with Manchester United or Arsenal or somebody like that, but they didn't. So that takes place in a few weeks. I watched the draw for that. What they do is it's like the lotto.
Yeah.
They have these balls dancing around, and they grab a ball.
Okay.
And the first ball they grab, that determines that team plays at home in a few weeks. That's how they determine it. I was wondering how they determine who gets to play at home.
Huh.
But they grab the ball. Okay, that team plays at home. Then they grab the second ball, uh-huh, and they're playing against this team. And that's how they do it.
Wow. Okay.
It used to take a long time because they had hundreds of teams playing, but now it's down to four or eight teams playing, so it didn't take very long at all. So our team, which is West Bromwich Albion, they will be visiting Aston Villa. And they're both Premier League teams, so that's happening in March. That's the next game we'll be following. But I'm also very interested in Bradford City, if they can continue. Of the eight teams left, three of them are non-Premier League teams. Blackburn Rovers, second tier, Reading, second tier, and Bradford City, third tier. So, interesting how...
Those are some of the more interesting matchups, too, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
When you see the comparison of the real... everyday guys and these other clubs. So,
and just to give you a sense, this started in August. Hundreds and hundreds of teams involved, because that's how the FA Cup works over in England.
Uh-huh.
And it comes down to a final in May. Mm. And then the team that wins gets to go on to Europa League or Champions League in the European Championship next year. So that's also kind of cool.
Got it. All right. Cool. All right.
We're the only station covering this, by the way, in the United States. I'm certain of that now.
We are. We are.
We only have a few minutes left because we have sports coming up in a few minutes. Basketball. Did we determine if it's a men's team or not? There's no schedule up here. There used to be a schedule.
There's a little placard behind... there, I don't know.
I don't see it. I don't see it, and the website stopped working, or our internet connection stopped working. I'll try to find out.
It's going to be a heck of a game, and we'll have details about that coming up very, very shortly here. We're in the last couple minutes of our show. This is Off the Wall. And may I just say, I switched the program. I couldn't hear myself. So I've been in the other one that's a little harder to hear, uh-huh, the entire time.
We don't receive our own radio station here.
Yes, so it's a lot of static, and I apologize for that. But is that something we have control over, or should I get into our capital improvements? I mean, is there any reason why I wouldn't be able to hear the main microphone in the program channel?
In the program channel or in the transmitter channel?
Program, because I can hear you in program crystal clear. I can't hear myself at all.
Yeah, something's dirty in there, and you'd have to go in and clean it.
So, I'm excited to talk about our hope for improvements here at WUSB. And there's a lot of cool stuff. We can't really get into all the details, but we just want to update the listeners and let everyone know that we're working very hard on a couple projects that may improve some of this stuff, because there are a lot of really good shows, a lot of good coverage during these storms and weather events and so on and so forth, and a lot of excitement from the students. We've seen really positive shows. We've been listening. We've heard some great shows since we've been back.
We were driving around listening to the radio, and we got to our destination, and we didn't want to leave the car.
We didn't. We were so enthralled with some of the student programming here at USB, and we just love working with them and talking, and we want to maybe do some improvements, maybe get some better gear, a little more updated console. And
we have a number of projects.
We do.
One project is getting the squirrel out of the studios. There's a squirrel running around here someplace.
I heard.
Building facilities needs to figure out how it's getting into the building.
I heard there was a trap brought in. I want to get into it. Yeah, but
you know what? One trap is not going to help. There's a million squirrels out there. I don't know if you've seen, but they're all over the place. And one goes into a trap, more are going to come in looking for them.
Right.
But okay, that's one project. The other project is getting some new equipment that we had donated to us from a commercial radio station up and running
years ago, and it's sitting around.
We've been trying to organize that, but I think we can do it. And of course, this whole building is being imploded at some point, but that's another project. And these are all challenges. We still have to be assigned a new space, and hopefully we'll get the space that we deserve because we have all kinds of things. You might hear from ignorami. Is that the right plural phrase?
Ignorami, yes, yes.
That radio is a dying breed, and that's why Radio Shack's going out of business. No, it's not true. Certain types of radio, yes. Certain types of radio that are emulated by your iRiver or iPod or whatever, nobody needs that. But non-commercial radio, where we talk about interesting things, that is always going to be interesting. In fact, if anything, it's going to be expanding. Oh, I see. I'm being Emmy awarded out of the place.
That's a good talk. Good talk. I'm glad you said that. No, I'm serious. We'd also like to use the equipment that we have here a little better.
Yeah.
So, to that end, if you hear about anybody wanting equipment or students organizing stuff or producers building stuff in the station we have or looking for new spots, please support them. Please support the fund drives and support WUSB.
We have a marching band in here now that is pushing us out of the way. It's Fat Tuesday. It's Mardi Gras.
Woo-hoo!
Happy Mardi Gras, everybody. I had no idea it was this early. So we'll let them play us out. And basketball's coming in. The Seawolves are up at Albany.
Oh, yeah. Seawolves.
It's men or women, one of them. Maybe it's both. I don't know.
In Albany? Is it Albany? Yeah,
Albany, New York,
men's,
the capital.
Women's, it's all kinds
of
sports.
It's a basketball team of some sort.
Major basketball. It's coming up next, people. Thanks for listening. Also, one more thing, everybody, please, if you'd like to write to us, it's otw@2600.com. Thanks a lot. We'll be right back.
step through the global window, alternating Thursday evenings for a trip around the world through the FM ethers of WUSB 90.1 FM. I'm Chris, and I'll be your host on the Global Rhythms program every other Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Tune in and expand your musical horizons on Global Rhythms on WUSB Stony Brook. A great heart is standing by.